Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
And this is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Chubba P. Quinnell, and today I'm not joined by Laurie Blake. I'm joined by Adam Blompier.
You're very welcome.
Hey, bud. How you doing?
Hi. I'm good. I'm good. Happy to be here. Happy to fill in for Laurie. Happy to be watching NXT. I'd be doing it anyway. So I'm really happy to talk about one of the greatest wrestling TV shows in history.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it? On today's show, we're going to be talking about all sorts of stuff, including those two takeover-worthy matches, and is Ciampa versus Gargano, God, I can't talk, is Ciampa versus Gargano, there we go, better than the Boneyard match? Here's the show. As we talk about this episode of NXT, which had two takeover style matches on it, the first one we're going to be talking about is this Ciampa versus Gargano end of an era, once in a lifetime. I don't know, there's other catchphrases I'm sure they're going to throw out there. The final beat, one more final beat.
The beat, last beat at the Heart Boys. The Heart Beat, yep. The Hearty Boys. The Hearty
Shot
Boys.
Shot through the heart. so this was the culmination of Gargano versus Ciampa and their feud, which is a pretty big deal. And they did it in a cinematic style. So after WrestleMania, when we had the Boneyard match and the Firefly Funhouse match being arguably the two best matches on the card, and then we've got another, what I thought was a brilliant cinematic match and a different style as well. Because obviously the Firefly Funhouse was completely trippy, off-the-walls craziness about the Cena's career and the Fiend's career and how they all intertwine and Vince McMahon. And the Boneyard match was just like, Undertaker's going to hit you a bit and he's a bit spooky and there's druids. It was a bit bonkers, a bit nuts. This one was just more of like the... Okay, I'm going to... Bear with me on this one. It's more like the Final Deletion. Final Deletion is ridiculous. However, it was more of a wrestling match in a ring, as well as dilapidated boat and all that craziness on top of it. But it was first and foremost a match in a ring, and this was kind of in that style. It was a cinematic shot. There was lots of cool tracking shots and loads of unique ways of looking at wrestling, but it was just two guys in a ring with the ref, no crowd, and just shot really, really well. And I thought it was bloody awesome. The whole match itself was so back referential on itself, on their whole feud, so many spots revisited, loads of trash talk throughout it, which I thought was awesome. The only sticking point, which I didn't like, was the finish, really. Because Candice LeRae came out and started yelling at both of them, just being like, what are you guys doing? Please stop it. You're killing each other. Please stop it. And then she turns to Ciampa and says, "Are you happy? I hate my husband. I don't know who he is anymore. I don't like him anymore." And she goes, "Are you going to finish it?" "No." "Cool. Well, I'll finish it." Turns around and just kicks Johnny square in the dick. He falls to the floor. She walks away. I really like this bit from Gargano, who started crying because his wife had left him, I guess. Ciampa then comes in an emotional, great moment, just goes, "I didn't want this. I'm sorry." And apologizes to Gargano for all of this. And then it's revealed that Candice comes back in, turns heel by kicking Ciampa in the dick. And Gargano was wearing a bloody cup, wasn't he? And then Gargano hits the fairy tale ending and he pins Ciampa on the exposed wood that was a throwback to their second match they had in the street fight where Ciampa won. And Johnny picked up the win. I wasn't a huge fan of the finish, but the match itself, I thought, was bloody awesome. What did you think, Adam?
I think comparing it to the Boneyard match or the Firefly Funhouse match is actually, I think, maybe the wrong lens to look at it. I think this is the Edge Orton match that we should have had. So that one kind of similarly shot, like goes on top of a truck. There's lots of crying. I thought this was like, it did a walk and brawl in a really interesting way. So I definitely will say I liked it. I think this and everything that's happened, obviously this isn't the match that they would have put on. They would have definitely, like, you could argue that whatever happened, Taker always should have wrestled in the Boneyard match because he can't do it live anymore. But this definitely would have been a full-blown, unbelievable, hour-long takeover match. And instead what we got was a really cool movie. It was definitely interesting walk and brawl. I just think it was, like I said, nothing really felt different enough for me in terms of the content of the match to really justify them going back to this well, especially with the role reversal of Gargano and Ciampa, because I just don't really buy Ciampa as the hero in this story. I thought the bit at the end where he was comforting Johnny because his wife had just divorced him via kicking him in the nuts, I thought that was that's the most babyface he's sort of been in this whole angle. Because remember, like, Ciampa is a villain. He broke Johnny's mind. If Johnny's in a bad place now, it's because Ciampa put him there. And so kind of rooting for Ciampa to finally triumph over Gargano, it gives the match a flavor which I didn't really buy. And that took it away a lot for me, because Gargano's always been the hero of this story. I'm glad he won. But like I said, I'm sorry that he kind of took Candice down with him. She's always, it's always been a difficult time for her interacting with the story. She's always been Johnny's wife. And I actually thought the way they were just going to end it with being like, Candice is tired of being a prop in this story. I'm tired of watching someone I care about and another person I care about destroy each other. I'm out. Sorry, guys, I'm done. And that was the final thing. That's the thing that kind of finally brings them together, that perspective to make them realize they're not just killing each other, they're also hurting people they care about. No, actually, it's a dastardly moustache to kick Ciampa in the dick. It's fine. I thought they made the best out of the situation they could have had. I just don't feel like this is a feud that should have been revisited, considering now it's finally done, which is very much entitlement from me, because, yeah, it's in terms of like a weekly wrestling show, I think this week's episode of NXT is insanely good. It's just that we're used to better from these two. It's done now, I think, fine. Like you said, there was a lot of narrative stuff, mostly stuff we've seen before, like the crutch and the wood being exposed. I thought Ciampa performed really well, like from an acting perspective. I thought, like, yeah, torn ACL, I finished that for you, not for them. I thought that was good. I thought, but ultimately, yeah, like, it left me a little cold, just because I think if they were going to do it one more time, they really deserved that live crowd. And also, yeah, I just don't buy Gargano as a villain right now, especially against Ciampa. Like, I thought Gargano being kind of mind broken and then being built back to face Ciampa one last time at TakeOver New York, that should have obviously been that finish. But Not to be, yeah. But that's fine. Like, lots of highlights. Definitely not a boring match. Definitely way more fun to watch than Edge and Orton. And yeah, like, weekly wrestling is always good on NXT. Yeah. we're down to nitpicks now with these two, because this match is not going to make it. It's not going to diminish it below being the best feud that NXT's ever had. It's still that. Obviously, yeah. It's still that.
Yeah. The thing I'm worried about is with Candace's inclusion and the shock heel turn, it feels like this feud's got to carry on. And I know they said that this is going to be the end, but I don't trust them because it's their best feud and they can just keep coming back to it. Maybe it's not right now, but that twist and the heel getting a sneak victory, it feels like the feud's got to carry on, and I really don't want them to, because I feel like now it's starting to jump the shark. I think if they carry on past that, that's when it's going to start diminishing that whole feud, because this should have ended. This has gone past long-term booking now. This is just like, okay, now you're just beating a dead horse. So yeah. While this was great, I agree with you. I'm not buying Gargano as a villain that much. I just thought the match itself was really cool. And I don't necessarily buy Gargano as the villain when compared to Ciampa, but I do think Johnny does have something quite cool about him as a heel. I think that when he was doing his trash talk to Ciampa, and when he was, oh, how many injuries have you had? Oh, was it the ACL? That and then really smashes good, the yeah. chair on the knee. And then it was like, oh, no one can forget the neck. And then just stabs him in the neck with the chair. I was like, good God, like, that was cool. It's just, yeah, when compared to Ciampa, he's just not, he's not a babyface.
Ciampa's always been the puppet master. Like, Ciampa's, exactly. Yeah, the mastermind behind everything. I do think that Gargano and LeRae, that Johnny and Candice will make a awesome heel power couple at the top of NXT. Like, I think with Ciampa out of the picture, I think you're absolutely right. I think Gargano's got really, like, he's very charismatic. His, like, his matches against Aleister Black and Ricochet when he worked heel, like, he's really compelling as a heel. It's just that compared to Ciampa, who is the worst of men, I didn't necessarily buy it. But I think with Ciampa probably moving to the main roster now, these two can have an extended stay as, like, the evil king and queen of NXT. I think that'd be really nice.
Yeah, I'd be super into that. And on top of that as well, going back to the original title of the video, I was thrown through much more of an emotional loop with this match than I was the Boneyard match. The Boneyard match I really enjoyed from a very kind of outside perspective, and I was like, this is bonkers, what's going on? I love it. I was laughing at a lot of the spots in a good way. I wasn't laughing at it, I was kind of laughing with it. Mm-hmm. This one I felt was very, very serious, and I was taken through the highs and lows of the whole match, and culminating when, you know, Ciampa apologized to Gargano after, you know, Candice walked away. This is something special. And then, you know, Candice came back and it was a little bit diminished. But up to that point, I preferred it out of... It's not going to come close to the Firefly Funhouse match, because that is just an absolute stroke. It's a masterstroke. It's a genius match concept, whatever it was. It was brilliant. But I preferred this to the Boneyard match. Match was fun. I like this more simply from the emotion that it drives from me, because that, I think, is always the sign of a great match to me, is how invested I get into it. And I think the Boneyard match had me at an investment from this is fun, whereas this match had me at an investment from I want to see one of these people win. These spots are mental. I can't wait to see this feud end. And that whole story that they told through the match, I really, really enjoyed. I was really digging it. So, in my humble opinion, I think it's better than the Boneyard match.
I think it sort of is. That's the thing, is, like, I think they're so different. Like, the Boneyard match was a asylum movie. This was like a indie short film. Kind of like it had almost like Reservoir Dogs like elements to it. Like I really liked it. The tender moment at the end where they both apologized to each other, I thought if it ended like that, I would probably be a lot more high on it. Ending with heel chicanery. If you ask me which one I want to watch again, I want to watch the Boneyard match again. Not necessarily because it's higher art if that is the kind of lens you want to look at it. It's because it's silly, doesn't require a lot of emotional investment, a bit shorter, and it ends in like a big climax which leaves you kind of feeling satisfying. It's like it's popcorn, whereas this was kind of a lot tougher. And ultimately I don't necessarily know if I want to watch the whole thing again. Like it was a visceral thing to watch, and I'm glad I watched it like on normal speed, because I didn't want to kind of like, I wanted to savor those moments, because though these two performers have definitely earned those emotional moments, they've earned these moments of quiet, and they've earned a sense of earnestness and like unironic, this is art, which the Boneyard match never attempted, because but ultimately I think I know, Firefly Funhouse, Boneyard, and then this, only in terms of what I'd want to see again. But I really do appreciate the ambition, the storytelling. Obviously, like what these guys put themselves through doing this. I know obviously some stunts were cut around, but there was a lot of horrible things they did to each other. I as an extension, as something, it's the best version of something that probably shouldn't exist.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
But that wasn't the only match on this card. We'll go through the rest of the show now. This episode actually started off with the other takeover match that was supposed to happen at Tampa Bay, which was the 6 women number one contenders ladder match between, okay, let's see if I can remember them, Chelsea Green, Io Shirai, Dakota Kai, Tegan Nox, Mia Yim.
She's bad now.
She
kicked
Candice
someone in the
LeRae.
Dick. There you go.
Almost forgot her, even though she's in the story at the end. And this match was just absolutely ridiculous. It went like probably 15 minutes and the spots just didn't stop the whole time. It was just constant. I tried keeping up with the spots in my notes and I just couldn't. I was literally, it just went spot, 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 spot. It was awesome from a pure like action perspective. It was so fun. There were some really like creative spots as well. There was like a ladder set up in the corner, and Chelsea Green went for a kick, her leg got caught in the ladder, and then I think it was Mia Yim just smashed her knee with a chair. I was like, oh, that's such a brilliant spot. Like, there was some really creative cool stuff. It wasn't just like here's a ladder, here's a chair with nothing thrown into it. There were some really creative, cool spots. You had Robert Stone and Raquel Gonzalez as well, helping out their respective people. Robert Stone trying to help Chelsea Green up the ladder and then getting pushed off, and Raquel Gonzalez giving Dakota Kai like a fireman's carry up it. So it was really, really fun. Yeah, it got to the end where it was Io Shirai and Candice were the final two. And Io Shirai, I think, gouged her eye? I don't know. But kind of pushed her off the side onto Candice Array, and Candice Array fell onto this bridge ladder that was set up in the corner. It looked like a horrible bump to take off the ladder, back, like, bending. It was like a Homer Simpson over the fire hydrant, her back bending over the ladder and going into the ring. It would look like a horrible spot to take. Just leaving Io Shirai at the top, she grabs the briefcase, and she gets the number one contendership against Charlotte Flair. I thought this was awesome. I don't know what to think about Io versus Charlotte. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be a fantastic match, and I'm really looking forward to that from just a match perspective, in the same way I was looking forward to Ripley versus Flair. Don't know if I want to see Shirai versus Flair, though. Like, in terms of characters... They just don't seem to match at all. I completely get the story with Ripley and Flair. I totally get the comparisons and the story they were telling. Don't know about Shirai and Flair yet. I'll wait. I'll withhold judgment and see if they build a great story off it. But what do you think of the match?
Well, first of all, I just want to compliment Maro for calling the whole thing by himself.
And
leaving very little room to breathe, because as we've seen over the WrestleMania weekend, one person, it was the Natalia Liv Morgan match, which had Tom Phillips doing it by himself. That was death. And don't get me wrong, this match is more exciting than that match. But also, like, yeah, Maro is, he has a lot of one-liners. He started with, was it Good Morning Kitty Cats and Kittens from Tiger King? He's a very cute announcer, but he's very, very skilled at keeping this sense of a tempo and an intensity going. And that really helped the match. Also, the fact it was there were so many people in and around the ring. This is one of the few matches, like, of the whole WrestleMania experience, which took place in front of an empty crowd, was an actual empty crowd match. And I didn't actually feel the empty crowd much, if at all, because there's just so many people, there's so much noise that it masks it and lets you kind of dive in, lets you kind of sit in the match and enjoy it. I thought it was really, really good. I love... There's just loads of little stories, because NXT is really, really good at callbacks. It's really, really good at remembering its own history. I mean, all of this stuff is recent history, but it's all there. Like, you wouldn't put these people in the ring and not expect, you know, Io Shirai and Candice LeRae to come to a head. You wouldn't expect Tegan Nox and Dakota Kai to not be doing something big. And Tegan Nox almost got, like, the final revenge, pushing Dakota Kai into a powerbomb through a table to the outside, like pushing Raquel Gonzalez. So revenge for Takeover for that. But then Dakota Kai once again sneaks in the back door, kicks her through a ladder. Like, there's
great spot.
Really, really, really good. I love Robert Stone almost doing a James Ellsworth and getting canned for that. I thought that was really
fun. Big fan of the fact that he climbed the ladder and tried to get Chelsea to get the briefcase rather than just climbing it and getting it himself. There's the difference.
Thank you, Peter. Yes, exactly. Yeah. I really, really dug it. I almost didn't notice that it didn't take place in front of a crowd. Obviously, if it had, I thought it would have been received amazingly. That's always going to be a shame, but I thought this is going to be remembered very fondly. And to your point about Io versus Charlotte, so I've seen a lot of people very cross that Charlotte is NXT champion. I understand, but I am starting to get a little tired of it, because I think I was really worried that Chelsea Green was going to win this match, not because I think Chelsea Green is bad, it's just that she's not at the level where Charlotte waltzes into NXT and gets a hype match. Like, I wanted Charlotte to walk in and fight someone big, because so many people are upset that Charlotte's NXT champion. But, like, the big argument to that is, no, she's going to have matches with all of these people. Like, I want to see Charlotte fight everyone in that ring, Chelsea Green the least. But still, like, after some time, build Chelsea Green up, great. And now we've got Charlotte versus Io Shirai. in an NXT landscape where character dynamic doesn't mean quite as much. It's more about the match quality. And so many people are grumpy about it being just like, Charlotte's just going to bury Io Shirai. It's like, guys, come on. Like, you're going to see two of the best female wrestlers in the world fight in NXT. Like, we could, like, Io Shirai could have been called up to the main roster, and that's when we see her fight Charlotte, and it'll be nowhere near as good. But we're going to see Charlotte Flair versus Io Shirai potentially with an NXT TakeOver quality match, and like, maybe Charlotte will win. I you know, this is one of those, like, please try and enjoy the journey sort of things. And like, character-wise, yeah, it's heel, but that's not really meant as much in NXT. I'm really excited to see Io Shirai finally teach Charlotte how to do a moonsault. I think it's going to be really
That would be great. Imagine if Charlotte pulls off a Shirai-style moonsault just to flex on her. Just be yeah, well, I can do it too.
Yeah, I completely understand people get apprehensive because they, you know, they have this thing about Charlotte, the main roster in general, and sort of protecting the sanctity of NXT. I don't know. Like, I think NXT is going to make Charlotte better, not Charlotte making NXT worse.
Yes.
Charlotte's already great, sure. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
what's the kind of what's the main reservation with the kind of the pairing for you, Pete?
It's, I don't know. I would have thought that in the way that Charlotte won the title, beating, you know, NXT fan favorite Rhea Ripley, who just kind of conquered the big conqueror Shayna Baszler in order to get the title, and in order for Charlotte to beat her, I would have thought that it would have been, the logical thing would have been someone like Candice LeRae. Obviously she turned heel, so it doesn't quite count, but kind of big babyface character, like, I don't know, maybe like Mia Yim or something like that would work much better, because you would be like, hey, you've just come into NXT, you don't even go here, etc., and just say, why you shouldn't be holding the title, that belongs to us, piss off back to the main roster, essentially. I thought that would have been a much better story to tell as the first instance of Charlotte coming back. Then after that, explore the other options. But I thought initially that would be a good story to tell.
That's completely fair. Yeah, yeah. I that, from a narrative perspective, yeah, that totally checks out. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, her versus Candice would have been a fantastic match.
Oh, that would have been great, yeah.
Almost quite difficult to watch, because just a sheer amount of blonde in that match might have been looking at her like a magic eye picture. But I'm still pretty stoked. I don't know who else is like the top, because if Bianca's called up, which I get it, I think she works. She works with the Street Profits. I really, really want to see her fight Charlotte, though.
Yeah.
Because I think that's for me is that's to me, that's the person that beats Charlotte, Bianca Belair, because that story is already going, and I don't necessarily feel like it's ended properly for Bianca. And maybe they'll meet in the future in the main roster. Who knows? But like, yeah, I don't know. Now that Candice has turned, she was such a good baby face. Now that Candice has turned, I don't know who the big. Yeah, the big baby face is, unless you build up Tegan Knox, I guess.
Unless Ripley comes back, wins it back.
Yeah. Well, like,
I'm not into that.
With NXT being like a full brand now, I guess you kind of, the way we look at the future is a little different. Like, maybe the call up isn't the natural option anymore. But who knows? Like, I still don't. Especially in this climate, it's very difficult to actually work out who's called up, who's just in the area and therefore filling time, who's like the safe option to put in these situations. So in terms of call-ups, maybe it's too early to read into it. But yeah, I want Bianca to truck Charlotte. That's really what I want. But we'll see.
That would be fantastic.
Great match. Great win for Io Shirai. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I can't wait to see the match. So yeah, I'm very excited.
Thumbs up all round. After that, we continue the feud with Balor and Walter. They're continuing that feud, seemingly. I assume they were supposed to have the match at TakeOver Dublin, but obviously that's been canned for later. But they're still teasing that feud and trying to continue it in the way they can. Balor saying that NXT UK title is on borrowed time. I think Balor should beat Walter for the title, but that's just me. And then after that, we get a load of recaps of different stuff across NXT. We get the recaps of the kidnappings, because that's a thing that still happened with Raul Mendoza and Joaquin Wilde. I'm sure that'll culminate at some point. And then we get the in-ring debut of this new tag team managed by Malcolm Bivens. That's Indus Share is their name, which we couldn't, me and Laurie could not understand what he said before, but now we know it's Indus Share, which I don't know what that translates to, but I do know that Share, I believe, is lion, I think, in Hindi, because that was the name, lest we forget, of Jinder Mahal's new theme after he, when he became WWE champion and got that whole revamp and he got his new theme. I believe it was called Share, aka lion, I think.
Definitions and meaning of Indus in English: an Asian river that rises in Tibet and flows through northern India and then southwest through Kashmir and Pakistan to the Arabian Sea. And it's also a faint constellation in the southern hemisphere near Telescopium and Turkana. So I think it's the lions of the Indus River.
That'll work then. This was a squash match against a couple of guys called Ever Rise. And they win, and they are big. Those are my two notes for this match, because that was pretty much it. Ever Rise got some offense in. What I really like about NXT squash matches is it's not a complete squash. It's never like 100% this person just dominates. Because then, when it gets to the point where that person eventually has a match where someone takes some offense on them, it's not completely out of nowhere, because you've already seen they have a couple of weaknesses. They Ever Rise got some offense in against this tag team, so when it comes to a point where they're facing whoever the bros awaits, and the bros awaits start doing all this offense on them, it's not out of nowhere. It's like, oh yeah, they're just better than Ever Rise, which they are. So I really enjoy that about NXT squash matches, but they do win in very quick fashion. They're big and beefy, and they do big moves.
Yeah, major authors of pain vibes from these boys, including the kind of slightly diminutive manager. I'm not sure about Malcolm Bivens, not sure who he is on what his vibe is. He's a bit weird. Like he was doing this between them.
The little dance thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, come on, brain. What was the name of the manager for Authors of Pain?
Paul Ellering.
That's it. He gives off like he really fit in with the vibe, like the glaring, like, yeah, there's just something like, I don't know if he adds or takes away from the team yet. It's way too early to tell. But yes, they're big lads and they can do stuff. Let's see if they do good stuff.
Yeah, hopefully they do good stuff. We get a promo from Adam Cole just saying that about Velveteen Dream. He's going to end the experience at some point. After this whole thing is over, I'm sure when he can come back to work.
When I'm allowed out of my greenhouse, you're in trouble.
We do get an announcement, actually. The last thing we're going to talk about is we do get an announcement of a tournament, all the rage at the minute, these tournaments, of an interim cruiserweight champion is going to be decided, because Jordan Devlin can't leave the bloody country. So they're going to be holding a tournament to crown an interim cruiserweight champion. And that starts next week on NXT. I don't know. They haven't announced who's going to be in it. I would personally like someone like Isaiah Swerve Scott to win that, or maybe Leo Rush to kind of win that back again. And then they have the kind of title unification match between Devlin and whoever wins this later down the line. Either way, it's probably going to lead some really bloody good matches, because it's the cruiserweight division in NXT. It's really, really good. So either way, I'm going to be really excited for it. But yeah, I'd like to see someone like Swerve or Leo win, I think.
Yeah, if Garza's not coming back, Garza seems like the obvious choice, because he wasn't pinned to lose a belt. Is Cameron Grimes a cruiserweight? Because I'd like to see him.
They could probably say that, yeah.
Because I think he'd do really well with it. I know they're both heels, but I mean, Jordan Devlin is going to find it a bit. I think he's going to find it fairly tricky to stay heel with this storyline, because he's the rightful champion. You know, like, yeah, champion versus champion is going to be the big thing. I think Leo would be good. I kind of want it to be someone we haven't seen before, because that's the best thing that NXT does with these, or WWE in general does with these tournaments. They never have the obvious favorite win. They always introduce a new star and make them like TJ Perkins or you know, like Kairi Sane, you know, they kind of make these characters. So I would be interested to see a first time champion, maybe Oni Lorcan, if he's not completely sick of the company and wanting to leave. I mean, whomever, but I it's going to be great, isn't it? It's going to be really good.
It's going to be some really good matches to look forward to. They're probably going to be the highlight of most weeks going forward. And yeah, that eventual champion versus champion match, whoever wins is probably going to be really bloody good because it's got Devlin in it and he's great. But yeah, then after that, we just got some more promos from Charlotte and Rhea Ripley. And then it was the Ciampa Gargano match, and that was NXT. I thought it was a really great episode. Two takeover worthy matches, I thought. Granted, the Ciampa Gargano one had a bit of a weird ending, but I still thought the match itself was great. A really, really good episode. They're really doing some great stuff considering the circumstances they're in and the lack of crowd they have and all that stuff. They're doing some really great work. So, thumbs up NXT. Yeah. Any final thoughts, Adam?
Yeah, really good. Like for a weekly television show, for a weekly wrestling show without a crowd, it's the best it can be, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very, very good. This and Dynamite are just the pinnacles of weekly no fans telly. It's been a surprisingly great week for wrestling. Really surprising, very, very welcome.
Yes, totally. Well, that is all the time we've got. So thank you for watching. Please press the videos that have just appeared on the screen to catch up with the latest awesome WrestleTalk things and a button on the middle that will take you to become a Pledge Hammer on Patreon. I've been Chopper Pete Quinnell. I've been joined by Adam Blompier. And that was NXT.
Bye.
So, Adam, last night was Quizlemania 2, mate.
Sure was, Pete.
Oh, God. I wasn't part of this one. However,
no, not this time.
The
Never mind.
Streak continues.
Oh,
for
man.
Andy Datson.
Oh, no. Well, like, you can't, like, I rigged these games to minimize the potential of cheating. So, yeah, he's just the. He knows the most about wrestling of everyone who works at WrestleTalk, it seems. That's
apparently
just, that's how that works.
Yeah, I guess so. It doesn't make any sense, but sure, he does.
He's Le Champion for 2 weeks in a row. And that's not the only streak that's going on in Quiz.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Ollie Davis last again. Oh, I mean, if he manages to go the full 3 weeks coming last, I think he's going to have to tender his resignation.
I think so,
because, how could he be an authority on wrestling after this? It's hilarious. Absolutely love it.
It's so funny. And yeah, I'm thoroughly excited for Quizlemania 3, especially with the special guest we've got. Not saying who, but the special guest we've got for episode 3 is quite cool.
Yeah, so we'll be announcing them on Monday. That'll be very, very exciting. I think we'll be announcing them on Monday. I hope we will. I think that's the plan anyway. Just going forward, we announce a special guest 2 days before. And then Quizlemania every week on
Lovely
1
stuff.
p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. UK time.
If you don't know what we're talking about, by the way, go over to Parts of Unknown, because that's where all the cool stuff happens. And that's where, you can find Quizlemania, which is a wrestling-themed quiz hosted by Adam every Wednesday. It's great.
Hooray.
I watched the whole thing last night, and it was ridiculous. I got so scared, though, to come back, because you introduced the drawing round, and I can't draw. I'm much worse than what anybody did on that episode. I'm far worse than that.
You saw Ollie's drawing of the Montreal Screwjob, right? don't think the bar's been raised high.
It got over the message. I wouldn't even be able to draw that. I would be able to. I could try and draw a screw, and people would be like, "What have you drawn? Is that a drill? I don't know." Is that one of the cork unscrewer things? It would be horrible.
So, unfortunately, everyone seems to like it. So I put out a little call. Follow us on Twitter and Parts Unknown, but I put out a call on the social media saying, what did you like from Quizlemania? What do you want to lose? What do you want to keep? And everyone so far is saying that they want to keep the drawing round. Most of you guys are very bad at it.
Yeah, you haven't seen the worst yet, though. genuinely, you have no idea how bad I am.
I don't understand how you could be worse than Ollie. I don't.
Oh,
understand.
I can.
Or Andy? Did you see Andy's version of Austin and Rock at WrestleMania X7? A giant mouth next to it for some reason?
Because it's a shocked face.
Oh, of course.
Shocked emoji. See, me and Andy get on the same wavelength because we're both terrible at drawing. That's what it is.
Yeah,
so if you pair us up, we'll be fine.
I will do my best.
We'll both share each other's terrible drawings with each other. It's going to be great. Can't wait.
I mean, what was it? What's my line? That's my line. Was a lot more dramatic than the first week.
Oh,
Luke was a power play. I absolutely loved it. Getting it in four questions.
Oh, that was ridiculous. That was so funny. I tell you what, though, for Datsun's one, when he just got Brie Bella out of nowhere, about like three questions before that, I was screaming at my TV. I was like, "It's Nikki Bella." It's Nikki Bella. I'm telling you, it's Nikki Bella. And then like four questions later, he gets Brie Bella. I was like, I was so close.
So close.
Great if I was there, but alas, I was not.
No, Andy Datsun, he is your champion. He is worthy of all of our respects. Evidently knows how much a worn Luigi costume goes for on eBay, which is a little disconcerting, but let's not look too farther into that. I love doing them, so we'll be doing them until we're allowed outside.
Because it might be a while yet.
It's keeping me sane putting these things together. As WrestleTalk's resident Photoshop genius, how did you enjoy my intro that I put together?
It was great. It was so good.
I really am at the ceiling of my limit of my capability.
I only caught the very tail end of it when the stream first came on. I only just caught the tail end of it at first, but I went back and watched it afterwards because I was like, this seems really good. Yeah, it was spot on. It's exactly what I'd want. See, the thing is, the thing that I love about Parts of Unknown is we've got this really well produced content, like No Rolds Barred looks amazing and the Explain series looks awesome and Quizlemania doesn't look as good as them. However, there's a lot of effort that goes in to make it look like that. So it still fits.
So much of my time, which admittedly, I would probably not spend nearly as much time on it if I was better at Photoshopping, but I'll get there.
It wouldn't have the same charm though, if it actually looked like pristine and like a proper game show. I don't think it would have the same charm. I think it's just better.
It really fits in with Parts of Unknown, I think, does Quizlemania. Not necessarily, like I say, for a production standpoint, but just because, it is. It's a lot of fun. Like, it's long form. It's fun. It's, it fits in there with, like, the slightly anarchic state of No Rolds Barred. Like I say, the care and attention of Explained. Just that kind of long form communal feel, which is not absolutely to say that stuff isn't present on WrestleTalk. It's just we know what the WrestleTalk core fan base wants from WrestleTalk, whereas Parts of Unknown is where we get to kind of experiment and muck around and be a bit looser. I'm really, really happy people are responding to it. I'm really happy that it seems to be giving people stuff to do of a Wednesday night. That's really great. And
Parts
it makes
Unknown,
it all
the
easier
big boys
to do.
Are big boys.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm really excited, and there might be another series coming at some point. Who can say? To Parts of Unknown.
Ooh,
maybe, and I'll it might be really tell. Fun. I don't know. There's a little tease for you, but anecdotally as well, I've had a couple of my friends who have always been they've always joked that like WrestleTalk's rubbish because I'm there basically, and they're always just been like, oh, WrestleTalk, that same thumbnail style again, or you know, the videos clickbait or whatever else. They'll just lob insults at me left, right and center. They've checked out Parts of Unknown content, they're like, actually it's really good. I'm like, got you guys. You can't even joke about it being bad because it's not. It's great.
We are tantalizingly close to 100k now. Like we've just got 85, which is very much like when the conversation start of, oh, when's it going to happen? So that's very exciting. Can't wait for that to happen. We'll do a big bumper Quizlemania for that.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm excited for that. But that is probably all the time we've got for this episode of the Wrestle Talk podcast. So thank you very much for listening, everybody. We've got lots more content coming your way as usual. There might be an actual SmackDown episode this Friday night somehow.
Who knows?
Apparently they're just going ahead despite lockdown orders, as they do. So there probably still will be a SmackDown review episode coming on Saturday, and then we get back into the usual schedule of Raw on Tuesdays, etc. So thank you very much for listening, everyone. I love you all. Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.